spoilers. Spoiler alert. I'm afraid I was the reason for a terrible spoiler at camp a few years ago. At youth camp, my job was for writing comedy for the early morning exercises and warm-ups for the kids. And what we would typically do is listen to soccer scores or the weather or some news that was happening outside camp, give the real news, and then create a joke out of it. We had done this with all kinds of things. And one Tuesday night, as I was preparing for the next Wednesday morning, I'm surfing the news, and I find out who won or lost a round of the TV show called The Voice. You've seen it, you've heard it, you know it, The Voice. And I thought it would be the funniest thing to build this joke on some young woman, a young contestant, who said, either won, I don't remember what she won or lost, but I reported it, I made a joke about it, and it went flat. Now, it wasn't just my comedy writing, because they had been laughing all morning long. But there's nothing more humiliating than fourth, fifth, and sixth grade girls staring, glaring back at me in disgust. And I couldn't figure it out all day why the joke had bombed. Can't remember what the joke was, but I do remember that later in the day, what I heard was, "Father Matthew, you have just spoiled The Voice, the TV show, because that's not how they watch television anymore. All these kids were DVRing it. They were recording it to come back and watch it later in the week." We've changed how we watch television these days. I haven't actually watched the show, but I get the premise. It's an audition. It's what used to take place behind the scenes and now is on display for everybody to see and hear. And they've got the panel of judges who are listening for the next big contestant, the next person who is going to have not just that powerful vocal quality, but the heart and the presentation, the psychology, the personality that will cut million-dollar records. That's what the judges are listening for. How many of you watch it also kind of can guess what the judges might do? Maybe. Like picking brackets in March. I'm not sure exactly what the judges are listening for. And we might be fooled sometimes. But most of us have an ear for when someone is speaking about us. Or speaking near us, about us. We have that phrase, "Were your ears burning? We were just talking about you." We have an ear for when someone is speaking our name, when someone is using words of deep meaning about us, good or bad, when someone is naming an issue we may have. That, we can all agree, gets our attention. We might hit a big red buzzer at some point to say, "Wait, hang on, I want to be included." This is where we tune in today with our gospel, which has as much to do about hearing as it does about seeing. I would even argue it has more to do about hearing than seeing. First and foremost, it is about the voice, Jesus' voice. Hearing and seeing Jesus, so closely tied together, but it starts with sound and voice. It starts with recognition, moves to being healed, concludes in transformation. The blind beggar, blind from birth, is lying in the path, begging, looking for some sustenance. He heard the disciples speaking about him first. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Ooh, who caused this? That's really unfortunate. We do that. That's us. The blind man from birth is present in our society when we ask why bad things happen, or why some people just can't seem to manage life as well as others. We all act like armchair psychologists looking for an answer to say, was it something this person did? Or was it something in their family of origin that needs therapy? And Jesus, coming upon the blind man, cuts through the entire question of shame and blame. And he does the one thing we would expect God to do in any tragic circumstance. We learn time and again that when we ask where God is in a tragedy or in a terrible circumstance, God is in the response. God doesn't get caught up in the whys, but he is found responding by going to the most difficult place, touching the deepest wound, placing his hands on the one place we need them most. Even when the rest of the world says, isn't it a shame? Isn't it shameful? And then comes the voice. Go. Like thunder out of the sky to a blind man, a command, go. The blind man hears, obeys, and goes to wash. Hearing Jesus' voice here in chapter 9 is concluded not until halfway through chapter 10. You thought this was a long gospel reading today. Deacon Cindy and I were talking about that ahead of time. But in effect, the whole hearing of the command that he follows concludes in chapter 10. Go home and read it for yourselves. What is chapter 10 that we've all heard and known? I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me and hear my voice. John's gospel, unlike the other gospels, is an extended discourse. It's not just in snippets, it is lengthy. It is meant to be mulled over. And those Pharisees who were having the argument about, do you know who this man is, and who do you say that he is, and how were you healed? Those Pharisees are being compared to the thief that sneaks over the fence to steal the sheep, or has the voice that the sheep distrust. They're meant to go together. And the length can also be helpful, because we need the time as disciples and followers of Jesus to grow and transform in our own recognition, our own discipleship, having the dial turned just a little bit more. Once the blind man has listened, obeyed, and washed, we see throughout the discourse how he changes, how his dial moves. First, by saying, yes, he's a man. Eventually admitting he was a prophet. Finally confessing, it's God. The one who first made me has fully touched me and healed me. And that recognition of God comes when Jesus is speaking. Like the woman at the well last week when he said, I am he, and she recognizes him and is so astounded she leaves her jug and goes. Here, the blind man says, who is this? He says, I am the one speaking to you. The one, if you can hear my voice and remember the one who touched you, I am. the presence of the voice. How do you hear it? How do we hear the voice that is speaking to us? How do we hope to see? How do we get healed and transformed, even by degrees? Like a judge auditioning for the next big act, we must listen. We must close our eyes, heighten our sense of hearing, and wait. Listen, like the blind man on the path. We must put ourselves in the path and even beg, give us this day our daily bread. We are to put ourselves on the path where Jesus walks, the way of Jesus. He reaches out to show you God's glory, to show God's glory beyond your shame and blame, to make God's glory active through you and to shine through you. He will touch you at your deepest wound. He touches you where your deepest shame resides, touching you in your most vulnerable spot. And it may even be as messy as mud and spit. And he says to you, go, wash, be healed. And I've got another spoiler for you. I'm afraid this is a big one. In case you were going to save this message and play it later on a DVR at home, in case you're waiting to be done with church and unpack this later, the spoiler is, he's loved you already. He's touched you already. He knows you and loves you and even commands you. Go. Wash. You are healed.